something, you know, particular for individuals and their own groups. You know, I mean, a huge part of this, as you'd appreciate, Brett, is just people being comfortable, you know,
Yes.
and that's why we try to, we design our retreats around themes that could get like-minded people to have an increased sense of comfort, you know, whether that's a girlfriend's retreat, a women's retreat, sorry, or whether that's around fitness or couples, you know, we try to really construct them in a way that someone can say, okay, great. I'm going into an environment with people I may not know, but have a similar set of values or, you know, commonalities that we can share that make me feel a little bit more comfortable.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Mushroom Podcast. Today, we have Douglas Gordon, CEO of the publicly traded company Silo Wellness. Silo has a couple of things on the go. They offer legal psychedelic therapy retreats. So if you travel to Jamaica, you can choose from psilocybin or 5-MeO-DMT, which are both guided by an indigenous Jamaican leader. If Jamaica is out of the question for you, you can also travel to Oregon for a ketamine nature immersion experience. Outside of that, Silo has also partnered with the Bob Marley family to create Marley One's line of functional mushroom tinctures. Silo's mission is heavily rooted in education around the physical and mental benefits of mushrooms, and Doug is an amazing leader to execute on that goal. So enjoy this chat with Douglas Gordon, and don't forget to check out Silo Wellness, that's SILOWELLNESS.com to learn more. All right. Douglas Gordon, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. You are the CEO of Silo Wellness, and you guys do psilocybin retreats down in Jamaica there. You've also got a functional line of mushrooms. Is that correct?
That's correct, Brett. Thank you for having me today.
Awesome, man. Yeah, it's this is our first CEO of a publicly traded company. So I think our audience is very excited to see and hear the perspective of someone that's in your day-to-day role in this company.
Happy to be here, happy to share what we're doing at Silo and, you know, just be part of the positive narrative to continue to educate and, you know, raise awareness about the power of psychedelic medicines for sure.
Yeah, awesome. And so your history, kind of getting into this line of work, I know that you did a lot of stuff in cannabis before, the Cannabis Expo that you had down there in...
Canex Jamaica, yep.
Canex Jamaica, right? Mm-hmm. So... how did you transition from the cannabis market into the psychedelic market?
Well, you know, while I was doing Canex, I happened to meet the founder of Silo Wellness. He came to Jamaica on one of his fact-finding missions, I think one of his principal fact-finding missions. And, you know, through some mutual contacts, he sought me out. We had a conversation. And at that point, you know, that was my first exposure to anybody doing anything in the psychedelic space directly. You know, I'd heard about it, I'd read about it, but, you know, this was my first face-to-face interaction. And Mike Arnold's his name, was, you know, is a very captivating and interesting person. So, you know, I was really drawn in to better understand what the opportunity looked like and really, you know, how the business was outlined was really about helping people. So it sparked my curiosity. And then it really took another sort of year and maybe 14, 16 months later, he got in touch with me. At that point, he was looking for a CEO for the company. And while it was not something that, you know, I was actively in pursuit of, you know, what really drew me in was the sort of underlying desire to help people and build a real business that had real customers and doing real things. And that's where our mutual sort of contact sparked. And then, you know, the rest is, as they say, history, right?
Right, right. Off you went from there.
Yeah.
So in 2018, Silo started as a company, or is that when Silo
that's
went
correct.
Public?
Okay. No, that's when they started as a company.
Right, and started as a functional mushroom brand?
No, I mean, originally it was, you know, all in on psychedelics.
Okay.
And it's only literally, I think, you know, again, this comes back to one of the things I particularly appreciate and respect about some of the thinking that went behind Silo is we learn from CBD and cannabis. You know, we learn that now that we've identified a legal format for this very powerful compound that so many people knew about, you know, how do you take it to market? How do you sort of get people to move past the stigmas and their preconceived notions to even entertain the idea of all the positive benefits that can come from it. And, you know, that's where the idea and the desire to find a platform, a brand, if you will, that would help to ease the customer journey in that process, that's where the idea was born. So they had started, you know, all the Marley conversations before I joined, but certainly it's something we amplified, and it's been quite a journey and quite a wonderful experience to, you know, what Bob Marley represented, spoke to, espoused, promoted, is probably more relevant today than even during his time. You know, the whole notion, at least for me personally, of one love, always, you know, I always related it back to people respecting people, you know, whether you're black, white, you know, Caribbean, US, European, whatever, is really, you know, an idea that we are all one, right? And so we should relate to one another accordingly. And what I've found in this process is that it has applicability to us with the planet. You know, it's one love. You know, the idea that has gotten so much more validity because it's true, of the earth being able to heal itself, you know, and that's been demonstrated in many different formats. But the idea that us as humans are not so much smarter than the earth, that the earth can't heal us, you know, that's what we sort of had to lay bare. And psychedelics have been a very powerful messenger, if you will, of the fact that the earth has the power to help us heal ourselves. And so that's what we get to do through the connection with Marley One and Bob Marley, is really use that messaging in a very authentic, significant manner, because these are his own words. You know, Bob was so ahead of his time, if we look at it that way, but it resonates today just as much as it did then. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's been a journey of, you know, not just the idea that globally people appreciate and respect what Bob Marley stood for, you know, love and adore him and follow him and so forth, but going a little bit deeper than that to understand how we make sure our messages are in sync with who he was, what his DNA was, and working with the family, you know, Rita Marley in particular and Sadella as well, you know, we've had such a front row seat at understanding how those messages translate, that I think we're really in a very unique position to be, one, with bringing this medicine to market through the functional space, yes, and in the psychedelic arena, but two, with something that has a lot more gravitas than just saying, you know, here's a wonderful product in a cool bottle with a wonderful branding, you know, proposition, and now we're gonna communicate that in an effective way. You know, it goes way past that, while using some of those same standards and business, you know, elements to really communicate effectively.
That's a beautiful philosophy, like the roots of the company to build off of that. I love what you guys are up to there. And so in your functional mushroom line, at what point did you guys feel the need, as starting as a psychedelic, you know, psychedelic retreat company, to transition into functional mushrooms? How did that conversation happen?
I consider it, Brett, really broadening and using that as initially as a stepping stone to better have a receptive audience to want to learn and understand psychedelics. You know, what we've come to realize is that the functional mushrooms have tremendous health and wellness benefits, right? Mm-hmm. They can help people and have helped people, you know, with digestive issues, better mind function, greater energy, you know, better rest, so many different tangible ways. But more than anything else, they also prove a platform to help destigmatize mushrooms. They help people to now be more receptive to the conversation and the learning. Because, you know, we're doing this because we have an opportunity to help people in the most significant way, and that's mentally. You know, we're not doing this because we think that this is a new health and wellness varietal that has great commercial benefit. You know, that might be a byproduct of our overarching mission, which is to help people in the most significant way possible. And that's where the power of psychedelics is what we subscribe to, right? So this is a tool that helps us to communicate that, but it doesn't in any way, shape or form, you know, detract or distract or water down from our overarching mission, which is to help people in the most significant way, which is what psychedelics opens up for us as a human race.
Right. And, you know, if functional mushrooms have all of these amazing physical benefits, that translates into really positive psychological benefits as well, right?
100%.
And I think that's amazing too, because there is definitely in the West here quite a bit of mycophobia, right? Like there is a fear of mushrooms. If I eat the wrong mm-hmm. one, I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So to bring people through that path of here's some of these ones that, you know, you can get familiar with, feel the benefits, and then maybe you'll be ready to try the psychedelic version of a mushroom.
100%. And you know, we always felt that our role with Marley One was going to have a much wider positive impact on the industry. And we were okay with that, right? But it's happened so much faster than we expected, in the sense that, you know, what we find is a sequence when we meet a new customer, we're educating someone for the first time. They say, wow, Marley One, what's that? Oh, it's a line of functional mushrooms. Oh, okay, what's that? And so in the process of you know, sharing functional mushrooms in terms of health and wellness, we're actually educating more people about functional mushrooms.
Yes.
And that's something we're more than happy to do, because they have so many wonderful health benefits that it's really more a matter of getting more people exposed and educated. And in the process now, you know, when you know that you're taking functional mushrooms and you're having positive health benefits, or you know someone who's telling you that they feel sharper, who's telling you that their digestive issues have gone away, who's telling you that the fact that they could not get a proper night's sleep is no longer a consideration for them. Now, all of a sudden, people say, wow, I didn't know mushrooms could help in those kinds of ways. And now they're much more open to a conversation that says, yeah, and beyond that, you know, we can help to be part of a whole journey so you get a better mental perspective on life. So the people who are actually suffering with depression and other mental health ailments that are very much more significant, they're now open to understanding how psychedelics and mushrooms can help them to live a much more fulsome life. And so maybe it sounds a little bit mission-y the way I'm saying it, but that's what we believe. We believe it's a really quite a blessing to be in this position and to have a pathway to really knock down some of the walls of stigma and open up people's minds to really get some of this healing that has such a massive impact.
Yeah, and just the education piece is so massive, right, for everyone in the psychedelic space especially. There's you mentioned the stigma. It's something that's gonna take a while to really unwind and undo that stigma. So I think that's a really smart strategy that you guys have there.
Thank you.
So as far as your retreats go, we've talked a little bit about Marley One, and, you know, just for our listeners there, there's marleyone.com, is that correct, that people
That's
can
correct.
Go to? Yeah,
yep.
Perfect. To check out more of those products there, and we'll link to that as well. And then, yeah, on the psychedelic therapy side, you guys got a couple different things going on. So you've got psychedelic therapy center in Oregon. Is that just one center in Oregon there that's doing the ketamine?
So how therapy? We've done our retreats. In Oregon, we do ketamine-assisted retreats. Yep. And in Jamaica, we do psilocybin, as well as we've done 5-MeO-DMT retreats. But we've really shaped our model around really an embrace of set and setting, right? And so in Jamaica, just like in Oregon, it's a rich environment for all these different flora and fauna experiences. So what we've tried to do, or what we've sort of made a part of our mission in terms of how we structure our company and how we structure our retreats, is we said we're going to move our retreats around. We're going to find environments that on an ongoing basis provide different stimuli and different environment to give a much more, you know, a richer experience to our clients. So we don't have a specific center. We use different venues that we vet in advance with a filter to say, does this lend itself to someone being in a much more comfortable and nature, you know, exposed to nature, immersed in nature, if you will, environment to allow them to have that much more fulsome and memorable experience.
I like that. That's awesome. And so the people that you're working with as, or that you've brought in to guide these experiences, where did you find those people?
Well, in Oregon, we found some local practitioners, right, who understand ketamine, who've been trained on it. It's not just a technical ability. You know, it's really finding people who align with the underlying purpose of helping people to get on their journey. Mm. And, you know, for those of us who are in the psychedelic space, you know, it's a kind of, you know, unfortunate irony sometimes because, everybody gets into it, I think, with that idea that they want to help. You know, they've experienced the benefit in most instances, and they really want to help. But there's also another component to it, which is, you know, sometimes, they end up drinking too much of their own Kool-Aid, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, and that's not good for them. But more importantly, it's not good for the client. You know, it's not good to think that the power of the psychedelic is anything more than the psychedelic doing its work on your mind. You know, and those of us in between, have this wonderful responsibility and privilege, if you will, of helping to connect people with that healing. And I think we do psychedelics a disservice when we don't separate our role from the power of the psychedelic. Mm. You know what I mean? We're doing a little bit more of that, like, I healed this person, or I made them have this sort of vision and shift. And it's not right. The case, you know. Yeah,
people heal themselves.
We go back to the power of the fungi, you know, in the case of mushrooms.
Yeah.
That's what's doing the work on us. And I think the more we can really truly sometimes get out of our own way and embrace that notion, you know, it really gives the power back to the fact that this is the earth helping us to heal ourselves. You know, a very natural experience, a natural compound that is available to us. You know, done in the right way, the responsible way, and with proper protocols, you know, affords people this really wonderful opportunity to get closer in touch to themselves and live a much more expansive life.
Yeah, expansive. I like that word. That's definitely something that's on my mind constantly, yeah. Right? Is you're shattering some of these limiting beliefs and just opening our minds up to what else could be out there. And just it's very clear to me that there's a deeper intelligence going on within the mycelial network. And when you take some even functional mushrooms, you feel there's something that's, it's unexplainable that you feel, right? That's there, and maybe it doesn't need to be explained.
you know, Brett, what's fascinating, even again, going back to the functional mushroom side, but we've also seen this with psilocybin, okay? Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, we're so programmed to think we need to take this every single day. Whatever the new healing modality is, you know, it's now on a regime. But you've also seen many instances, we've seen many instances, where people have taken it once. You know, they've gone from these extreme situations, taken it once, and they're fine. You know, they're now being able to live that much more healthier or expansive, you know, existence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where we go back again to this sort of understanding without fully comprehending how notion that there's more play here than just, you know, medicine in, healing out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Narrative. There's something else that happens within us sometimes that really makes us that much more powerful and impactful. And I don't have the answer to it, but I mean, you know, I'm sure you've seen Fantastic Fungi, and that just was so eye-opening to me, you know, because we're seeing that in a practical sense with clients. And that's one of the things that truly gives me great, great satisfaction in what I do in this business. You know, I have this wonderful privilege to lead a team that is charged with helping people, you know, and when we actually see that manifest, you know, it's very rewarding, but it's also very humbling. Because we know there's so many more people out there that we have this responsibility to go out and also help.
Yeah, which is it's unfortunate that there's so many people out there that need this help, but also massive motivation to just keep going. And 100%. When you do see those results, to just continue to push forward.
100%.
Yeah, and so the legalities of running a kind of a gray area publicly traded company, it's a bit of a fascinating thing, right? So it's Silo Wellness is based out of Toronto, listed on the Canadian Stock Exchange.
Yep, the CSE. Silo.
CNC, yeah.
CSE.
CSE, yeah, sorry. And so, you know, you've got Jamaica where 5-MeO-DMT and psilocybin is legal. And has it always been legal there?
Yeah, it's never been illegal here.
Right. So yeah. So you've got, that's legal there, you're down in Jamaica. And then ketamine is also legal, right? So you're doing that over in Oregon. Right, but we can't do psilocybin retreats yet in Canada or in the U.S. So how does that work for the future of Silo and what you guys are thinking of expansion wise with your psychedelic therapy clinics?
Well, I mean, it bodes well in the sense that we're in the trenches, we're in the market, you know, we're learning, you know, as we
right.
go, we're applying the medicine. And looking for ways constantly to improve the experience for our clients. You know, how do we just improve every single element of their journey through the process? And I don't just mean their psychedelic journey. I mean, you know, from identifying that this might be for them to, you know, being properly educated and answering their questions, those that they can overtly, you know, ask and those that they're thinking about. You know, how do we give them that increased degree of comfort at every
right.
turn. And then as they come through, you know, we're constantly looking for ways that we can deliver on the Silo part of the equation in the most authentic manner possible. You know, so when we talk about our retreats, even in Jamaica, you know, a big thing for us was, you know, let's not just be a Canadian or North American based company that, you know, helicopters into Jamaica with our clients, all our practitioners, use the local landscape and then helicopter back out, right?
Right?
Because two things happen there. One, which I think some people lose sight of, it's a massive disservice to the client.
Mm-hmm.
Massive, you know, because there's so many nuances of interfacing with Jamaica and hearing about, you know, little local elements that become just part of conversation that are so enriching to that client going through that process, that you simply, you know, cut them off from that, the ability to experience that, if you don't have people that understand and are based here in the local environment.
Right.
The second thing is, and again, we learned this from cannabis, you know, I'm Canex Jamaica is based in Jamaica.
Yeah.
So I've had great visibility on so many companies that have come into Jamaica, you know, sort of use it as a place to plant a flag, go back to the capital markets, announce it, and you know, now they're off to the races, they take their flag and they go home, right? So there's no real tangible long-term benefit to the island. And there's something fundamentally wrong with that, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at no turn will I or any of the team at Silo compromise for quality, right? That's a non-starter. But at the same token, there are also a lot of people who are capable of delivering to those high standards based right here in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, back to the sort of underlying authenticity of what we're doing in this whole industry. And that means you have to be able to work with the local, you know, the local environment and the local skill set. And even in some instances where there may be a need for training, help to fill that gap. So that at the end of the day, it's really a very sort of grounded, you know, model that you're giving to clients, because that's fundamentally very, very important, Brett. I think, you know, the reason why we do it and how we do it is a part of who you stand for as an enterprise, and that's what we've tried to represent all
yeah.
the way through as we go.
And that's extremely important as well. And I know you've done some work there. I was looking on your LinkedIn. It was I Love Montego Bay. You've been a
part
of
Bay,
this.
Yep.
I Love Mobe, yeah. So you've been a part of like working in the community of Montego Bay and Jamaica to like bring awareness and business and stability to the area for quite some time.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a Caribbean person, right?
Yeah.
And while these are global opportunities and this is a global healing, the fact of the matter is, you know, if we're able to deliver this healing here in Jamaica and in the Caribbean, you know, I'm not going to subscribe to a notion that says that, okay, we need to bring in talent and expertise from overseas, provided, as I said, that we're not compromising the standard of what we deliver to the client.
Mm-hmm.
OK, Okay, that's a non-starter. It's non-negotiable. But that being said, maybe sometimes it takes a little bit longer to find the same skill set. Maybe it takes a little bit of elements to round out the offering. But the reality is you have to have a, in my opinion, you have to have a, you know, a commitment to doing that, to really being, you know, local while being international, right? And global in your reach, to be a good global corporate citizen. You know, that's how I look at it. That's how we are. So even as we look at other markets to expand into, which we are actively pursuing and looking at, it comes with the same thing. How do we connect in these communities? And we found that the indigenous communities have, you know, a tremendous breadth of knowledge and know-how that we can use and channel to bring the healing to our clients. So for us, you know, even within the various jurisdictions that we look, we have a, you know, a real, I don't call it soft spot, a real inclination to work with the various indigenous communities, particularly because, again, Brett, they've been using this medicine for so long. Like, they know it inside and out. They understand it. And so if we can bring all of that historical and traditional knowledge into an updated, up, you know what I mean, a sort of modified structure that fits with our modern clientele, then that's win-win-win all the way around. You know, that's the proper thing to do. And that's what we subscribe to.
Yeah, awesome. And what is the history of psilocybin in Jamaica? That's not something that is talked about much in, you know, various literature and books that I've read. What's the history there?
You know, interestingly enough, I you know, there's not any sort of real knowledge base that's readily accessible for reading. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
But in our quest to build out our team and our quest to build out our retreats in such a way, as I said, that reflect, you know, a real cultural inclusion of the local population, you know, we came to find out that, you know, just here in Jamaica, like in the Rastafari Indigenous Village, which is also here in Montego Bay, you know, people have been coming in, indigenous shamans and other shamans have been coming in and facilitators into that space for years, hosting various plant medicine experiences. You know what I mean? So it's like they've been there. They've been a part of it. They've been exposed to it. You know, they've understood the gravitas in terms of how that whole process works effectively. And so you do have these stories that we've been able to tap into of real, you know, real usage here in Jamaica, while it's not documented in any sort of formal paper or reading material, but it's very much here.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is. I can't wait to come down there, check it out. To be honest, I wanted to come to Jamaica for quite some time, and now I have a perfect excuse to come down and see what's really going on down there.
We have a great, you know, retreat leader. We call him retreat leader or facilitator. His name's First Man. He started First the Man. Rastafari Indigenous Village. And, you know, he's just such real grounded energy. You know, he's the one that, you know, for the first time I heard really articulating the fact that, you know, he's just a facilitator of the medicine doing its work. You know, and when you hear him speak it, you understand why our clients, you know, have so much respect for him, because it just makes perfect sense. You know, he's just a chaperone of this medicine coming into you and how you process it so you get that benefit through the whole process.
Yeah, awesome. And you guys are also setting up a little retail shop there
in Jamaica. Yeah, very excited about that. A mushroom store. Yeah, we're working on it right now.
And you're going to have the Marley One products in there, but then also psilocybin products as well, because while you can't sell those online and I can't buy them here in Canada from you, when I'm down there, I can go to the little shop and try some other psilocybin products.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have like mushroom based smoothies. You know, it's going to be like, you know, you can learn. So it'll be an opportunity to learn about mushrooms, learn about psilocybin, as well as functional mushrooms, to purchase, of course, and then, you know, to consume through the smoothies and so forth. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's great. And so when you talk about these other markets that you're looking into, what are some next moves for Silo? Like, where are you guys seeing promising, expanding opportunities within the psychedelic market?
Within psychedelics specifically, we're looking to a couple markets in South and Latin America. right? Those are high on our radar. There are also some jurisdictions where the country doesn't have a legal framework for example, psychedelic retreats, but they have indigenous communities that facilitate indigenous retreats that are fully legal. So right now in the process is just identifying, we have about four markets that we're looking at very, actively, and then just trying to refine all the different elements are in place. Because as a publicly traded company, you know, you have to put, you know, there's a little bit more of a process to evaluate an opportunity than just say, oh, great, let's head off to Peru and do A, B, and C, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of what we're going through right now. But we're getting there. And at the same time, you know, we're doing some fabulous work in R&D on some of our psilocybin products. So very excited to bring those to market as well. And some really, really interesting opportunities and collaborations where that's concerned. So, I mean, we're very close to being able to announce a couple of those things. And, you know, I'm excited about that process as well.
I'm excited too. Can't wait to hear about them. Yeah. And so you guys got, you're currently working with ketamine, psilocybin, 5-MeO-DMT. What about ibogaine, ayahuasca? Is that on the radar for you guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we want to be able to offer the full suite of different psychedelics here in Jamaica and in other markets. But, you know, as I said, you know, our process one is to iterate, you know, improve, understand, you know, stop, regroup, analyze and build better, you know, always with a focus on how do we keep moving along so we continue to help people, you know, today. That's what they need. I mean, there's a lot of trauma out there. And obviously, the pandemic of, you know, from coronavirus, it's exacerbated that, you know. And so that's where we feel this burden, but not one we don't want to carry. You know what I mean? Of moving as quickly as we can so that we can put as much healing in place as we can.
Yeah. And so I know that, you know, just speaking about the pandemic there that we're still currently in, 2020
was a bit. Well, not everybody says that anymore, Brett, which I find shocking. I heard somebody say, well, now that COVID's over, I was like, oh, okay.
I know. That's actually, I was at like, you know, my local like rec center pool the other day, and there's a couple guys in the dressing room, and they were like, yeah, back when the pandemic was going on. And I was like, but we're all still wearing masks or showing our vaccine cards. Like it's still happening. But you know, if you were locked up in your house for a year and you didn't leave and now you're back out in the world, then I guess, you know, that's a step forward. Right. But,
I suppose we can also file that under, you know, speak it into being. Right.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. It was a nice thing to hear. I was like, oh, these guys really believe it's over. That's awesome. Like it's good to hear people like moving past it instead of just kind of feeling like we're trapped in this thing that we can't control. Right. That's a difficult place to be. But 2020, you know, for you guys in the travel industry is really what you were with going to these retreats. How did that hit the business?
Oh, it's been quite the roller coaster, man. We've had situations where, you know, retreats had to be postponed because, you know, facilitator contracted COVID or their test results didn't come back in time. You know, it's not been easy, you know. But you know, we like I said before, you know, we're so oriented around how do we continue to facilitate help for people that, you know, not one time, notwithstanding all the challenges and all the implications and costs that come along with having to shift dates and what have you, it's really been collectively as an enterprise more function of like, oh my gosh, you know, this person who's so ready for his or her experience, we now have to tell them that it's going to have to move back a little bit. Right. You know, that's really where our emphasis has been. But I can say, you know, without equivocation that we're happy when it is behind us so that we can be a lot more sort of, you know, sure about our planning and less variables that can throw things out of whack.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm guessing that you're starting to see an uptick as well of people being able to travel and being willing to travel and come to remote destinations.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, our queries and you know, we're getting so many queries online for people who want to know about the retreats or want us to set up like sometimes they want just an individual retreat or their own group retreat. So we've worked to actually have the opportunity to curate something, you know, particular for individuals and their own groups. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, a huge part of this, as you'd appreciate, Brett, is just people being comfortable. You know, and that's why we try to we design our retreats around themes that could get like-minded people to have an increased sense of comfort. You know, whether that's a girlfriend's retreat, a women's retreat, or whether that's around fitness or couples. You know, we've tried to really construct them in a way that someone can say, "Okay, great, I'm going into an environment with people I may not know, but have a similar set of values or, you know, commonalities that we can share." That make me feel a little bit more comfortable. But we've even found that beyond that, the people who just say, look, I want to come with a group of my friends, you know, and we've built in the flexibility to our model to be able to accommodate them.
Yeah, that's great. I know a handful of people off the top of my head that would be completely uncomfortable with going and doing a psychedelic experience with a bunch of strangers.
Right.
I would love it. I think that sounds like a great way to connect on a deeper level with people that are like-minded. Yeah. And that's cool that you're also offering it in like the couple sense, you know, partnerships, friends. Cause it's really about at the end of the day, it's about how do people want to, you know, explore their journey on their own time and their own means. Right.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Doug. What's your experience in using psychedelics, and how have they, if you have used them, which I'm, you know, gonna go on a limb here and say that you've probably tried your own product. What's your experience there, and you know, what are the results? How do you feel about it?
I think that's why I'm so, you know, convinced, you know, committed and passionate about allowing more and more people to try. It's also important to me to guide folks to say, or recommend to them that they do it in a guided manner. You know, psychedelics are not it's not a function of just that experience, that detached experience that you're on. It's a matter of also contextualizing it so you get the full benefit from it. You know, I've never ever been a person who, you know, wanted to indulge in things just to have a sort of mental detachment from reality. It's never been my thing. I have no judgment on folks who that's their way of sort of, you know, recalibrating or whatever, or meditating. I have no judgment on that whatsoever, never have. But, you know, notwithstanding all the different places I've lived, being a Caribbean person, you know, being even in the cannabis business for so long, you know, the first product I ever had that was mind altering was alcohol. I mean, sorry, beyond alcohol was psychedelics.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
So, I mean, I've done CBD and all that stuff, which for me is, you know, being true to being in the industry and being, you know, knowing what my products, how they work, right? As opposed to a THC based product. But, you know, I recommend it highly. And I also recommend it with a guided process. You know, I can't say that strongly enough, because I think that's how you get the full benefit of the therapeutic aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that setting, even the communication prior as to what to experience, and especially afterward of what you experienced, it helps to really contextualize it in a way that I think has the most impact.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that it's been, you know, it's been one of the most incredibly powerful and moving experiences I've ever had, for sure. Wow. I recommend it highly, like I said.
Yeah. Yeah. In the right environment with the right set and setting and structure and medicine, right? You know, making sure that you're getting your actual medicine from a proper source. That was one thing that was really interesting. A friend of mine who works in harm reduction for a lot of festivals where, you know, people are taking MDMA, LSD, mushrooms, GHB, all kinds of stuff. And his thoughts were, you know, I really wish they would let the people in charge of harm reduction be like handing out these drugs to people if they choose to use them. Right. Like, you know, they're like, then I would be able to know that what I'm giving people and how they're going to react to it. You know, that would just make everything, that'd make the whole experience a lot safer. So that's why I love, you know, when you talk about how important it is around like structure and set and setting and education for people, that's such an important component of doing psychedelics where, you know, alcohol, it's like you go get a beer and like you're kind of looking to wind down and switch off, right? You know, drink some whiskey or whatever it is. It's about kind of unplugging and relaxing and detaching. Psychedelics, though, not so much the same case. So it is important that we know what we're doing and we know what we're ingesting.
And, you know, Brett, the other thing that I think, you know, as people who are in the industry, who want to see the industry grow, who want to encourage other people to set the stigmas aside, it's really important that we're also honest and responsible. You know, this idea that, you know, psychedelics can't affect people and everybody should be able to have access and you know, I don't subscribe to that. Why? Because they're very powerful compounds. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, you want someone to be able to be fully prepped, fully ready, and then get the benefit of that expansive experience for themselves so that they can grow and really have that you know, that internal ability to sort of step into more of their potential. And to move away from, you know, some of the holes that the past trauma have over us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really the key thing. And you know, when we talk about, for me anyway, when I talk to people and I say, listen, this helps you to reinterpret your trauma, right? And this helps us to better, you know, let go of things, you know, because we've all suffered with trauma. Yeah. And when I went through my experience, it was the most... It was remarkable for me. I remember looking at, you know, in the sky, yes, but looking at my trauma, the issue that, you know, had represented and manifested for me that represented my trauma, and almost smiling at it. It was like, hey, you don't have the power over me anymore. Right. And it's since that time, you know, the first time I did it and that happened, it's every single time that comes up, it's gone away. It's just like it just flitted away. And so when I speak to people about this, you know, and I tell them about that whole idea of releasing the hold the trauma has over you, and therefore allowing more of your mind to be available to you to just live a fulsome life. It's not empty rhetoric. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's what I saw, it's what I experienced, and it's what I continue to tell people is one of the most powerful ways that psychedelic can help you. You know, I was at a seminar in Jamaica in July. And we had a psychiatrist, you know, Dr. Delahaye is his name. And, you know, in his presentation, he said something just completely stuck with me. You know, he's Jamaican, but he's from Johns Hopkins. So he's part of that whole ecosystem of folks that have done fantastic work and understand psychedelics so intimately. But he said, you know, psychedelics are the only medicines, if you want to call it that are suitable for the unwell and for the well. Hmm. You know, and it seems such a simple statement, but it's very revealing because that's the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the enthusiasm behind psychedelics was born because of the research that showed the tremendous power it had in healing a bunch of different mental health disorders, right? And challenges. Right.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you know, so we have this addressable market that we've identified where the drugs don't work, right?
Right.
And we can all point to that and say, this substantiates our investment thesis because even a small fraction of this addressable market, you know, it makes a lot of sense from an investment perspective. And that's great. But there's a whole nother market that has not yet been quantified of people who are living less than their best lives because their own mind is trapping them from being able to be the full version of themselves. And so that is also something I think that we should not lose sight of promoting because that's what we're really after. You know, at the end of the day, if we can play a role for every individual to live a life that's more reflective of their capability and their potentialities, then what could be more rewarding than that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's and then what's the ripple effect of a bunch of people, right, who are now getting into a more expansive state? Thinking about how they can provide more value to others, be kinder to others, because they've gotten themselves to a baseline of health and wellness, and now they're looking to grow even further.
100%, Brett. Imagine more people just being able to pause 5 seconds before they react to something someone says or someone posts, because now they're able to say, hey, you know what? Are you okay? Are you, you know what I mean? Are you happy? Like, what's going on with you? Because I'm not reacting to what you said. I'm looking beyond that to realize because I'm not triggered by it, you know? And that, I think, can have such a mushroom effect, yes, pun intended, of a healthier, you know, wealthier existence because we're just in a more loving and grounded state continuously.
Yeah, compassionate, empathetic and all that good stuff that totally. Comes with making peace with your trauma and understanding it. And I love what you said, and this is a very common thing that I continue to hear the more and more people I talk to about their psychedelic experiences, is that you kind of face your trauma and you understand that it's there, it might be a part of you, but it's no longer in control of you. And that is the most powerful thing. There's been a couple people that I've spoken with dealing with late stage cancer, terminal diagnosis. And one beautiful thing that this guy Thomas said about his cancer that he realized is he equated it to being like dragged behind a horse. That's what he realized that like it felt like, kind of not mm-hmm. knowing what was going to go on, right? Like before his psychedelic experience. And after his psychedelic experience, he's like, now I'm riding the horse. Like I'm on top of it. Right, I might not be in control of it, but the view is better and it's a lot more enjoyable.
Oh, that's such a great metaphor. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It was so beautiful to hear that from someone who you can just see how light he is, and he's still dealing with stage 4 terminal cancer, but his whole perspective has shifted, and that's the power of being able to look at your own trauma and just make peace with it.
Yeah, absolutely,
yeah. Amazing. Okay, so. Covered a lot here, man. This has been this is amazing. I love to be able to talk to someone that's kind of at the helm of an industry or a company like Silo and really get to know, you know, who you are as a person, what you believe in. And I think that what you're doing down there, the work that you're doing, is incredible, and I just can't wait to see like where you guys expand to and where you go from there. Do you think you'll start a Silo Expo?
Silo Expo. No, I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna
Psilocybin Expo. I mean,
yeah. Well, we're gonna expand like the CanEx footprint to incorporate more psychedelic medicines.
Just bring it in.
Awesome. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us before we wrap this up here and sign off?
No, I mean, I just like I said, I think the most important thing. And, I would encourage everybody who is an advocate or participatory in terms of on the industry side to really, this is, I think, about being real and being authentic and really having first and foremost, an intention of helping people. Like I feel like those of us who've been exposed to psychedelics, who've used psychedelics, who understand psychedelics, it's this like awesome little secret. And it's not about us having a more fulsome life. It's really about, holy smokes, like, how do we get more people to understand this? Right. How do we get more people to, it's silly to look at social media as a microcosm of it. But the truth is, it's a manifestation of so many of these traumatic experiences that we all have, with the kind of like idea that instead of using it as a platform to celebrate life and to celebrate people's success and encourage them to go on and sort of, plow through whatever challenges they face, mm-hmm. too often it's used as a tool to hide behind, to bash people and knock them down. And all that is projecting out our own insecurities, And so that's part of my sort of naive, maybe, wish, is to see when we all come more in touch with who we are, we all start to step more into a perspective of, identifying and pursuing our best versions of ourselves. And in the mm-hmm. process of doing that, we switch. We switch on from thinking of someone else's success as a threat to mine and more like something to encourage, because mm-hmm. the better they do and the more people I tell good luck and keep going, is the greater the probability that's going to come back to help me to realize my own goals. And, I don't know. We'll see what the future holds. Like day by day, we'll just take it one step at a time, try to build a business that really helps people, try to build a business that, our stakeholders respect, appreciate, and feel proud to be a part of, quite frankly.
And social media is going to be that perfect mirror to just kind of watch, right? Like watch the shift in our consciousness as psychedelic medicines get more integrated.
We might have to see it with, granting everyone some complimentary psychedelic, I don't know, but we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah. We will see. That's true. I really appreciate you coming on here, Doug, and sharing the story and talking about Silo. And again, just for everybody listening, marley1.com for your functional mushroom product line. And right. then you can check out silowellness.com to learn more about the company as an investment opportunity, to check out your various locations for psychedelic retreats. And if you're thinking of investing, it's SILO on the Canadian Stock Exchange, correct?
That's correct, Brett. Awesome. And on the OTCQB, we trade as SILFF.
SILFF. Got it. Awesome. Great. Well, we'll definitely link to some of that stuff in our newsletter coming out here when we release this one. And again, thank you so much. And, maybe I'll see you down in Jamaica sometime soon.
I hope so, Brett, please. And I also want to say, I commend you and the other folks who are doing that job to get this nascent industry out there and into mainstream. Yeah. I mean, when you're in the front, on the front edge of a wave, it's not tough. It's not easy, which people don't sometimes appreciate. So, I take my hat off to you and I thank you for doing what you do as well.
Thanks, Doug. I really appreciate that, man.
You bet.
Okay. Awesome. Well, that's it, everyone. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.